Son of God died for us. The whole universe fits within the span of His hand. We need to think how big that is. God's hand is bigger than the universe. And yet He came and lived inside a human being. And now, He lives in us. He bore our sins on the cross. He died for us. That is nearly too good to be true news. Amen?
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and you're listening to Your Place of Grace podcast. And I'm so thankful that you are listening. Today, the title of our lesson is this. That's why it's called Good News. Praise God. Basically, the way the gospel has been presented today is Jesus paid a price, but it's not a full price. And until you repent and live up to some standard, God can't work in your life. Until you quit dipping, cussing, chewing, and going with those who do, He can't answer your prayers. We're adding our own goodness, holiness, and works to what Jesus has done. And sadly, that's the message most of the church is preaching today. Every one of us has been exposed to this in one form or another. And thought that we must do things in order to earn God's favor. We are accepted by God because of what Jesus did. Plus zero. Amen. All we have to do is receive it by faith. If we're thinking, well, I know that Jesus died for me and He did all these things, but I also have to be holy. And loved one, that's undoing what Jesus has done. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 11, verse 6. This is the King James Version that I'll use today. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Okay, so that's just old English for, you're either saved by grace or by works, but not by a combination of the two. It's that simple. Either you're saved by the grace of God, and all you must do is receive it by faith, or you must be saved by your own goodness and merit, which cannot be done. It's impossible. It's not a combination of the two. It's not Jesus providing the minimum payment and then you have to add to it. Jesus paid it all. And it's just a matter of you believing and receiving or doubting and doing without. That's the way it works. Yet most of us have fallen under a works type mentality. See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He can't accuse God, so he focuses his efforts on us. In fact, the devil isn't even trying to tell most of us that God can't do miracles, God can't set you free or heal you or bless you. If we believe in God, then, by definition, He can do anything. We don't doubt that God has the power and can do it. Satan is primarily fighting us by saying, oh, sure, God can do these things, but what makes you think He'll do it for you, you sorry thing you? And then He'll show us that we've gotten mad at someone, that we haven't studied the Word, that we haven't prayed, and so forth. The reason we're missing it is because we tie God's movement in our lives to our performance. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word gospel today is a religious cliche to us, I'm afraid. Most of us don't know what it's talking about. We use gospel to refer to anything having to do with church or Christianity. People say they're ministers of the gospel, yet many of these folks don't ever preach anything that's good news, which is what gospel means. They're saying, "You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. Repent or else. Turn or burn. I'm preaching the gospel." That's not gospel. It's true, there is a God and a devil, a heaven and a hell, and if a person doesn't repent and receive Jesus, they are going to hell. Those things are true. But that's not good news. That's not the gospel. There are only two examples in all of Greek literature of this word translated gospel being used outside the Bible. That's because gospel means more than just good news. It's really a superlative that literally means it's nearly too good to be true news. Outside of the gospel, there isn't anything that's nearly too good to be true news. There was a word that existed outside of the Bible before the Bible was written, but it was very seldom used because there wasn't much in life that was nearly too good to be news. Outside of God and the good things he's done through Jesus, life is rough. Life is bad. Life is a terminal experience. Loved one, we're all in various stages of dying. If you were to look at life critically, apart from God's goodness, his promises, and the hope of heaven, there are lots of reasons to be upset. Just watch cable TV news. If you aren't having a problem right now, just hold on. You'll have one soon. Life is rough. But Jesus came along and took all of God's wrath and judgment for our sin upon himself. Now that's amazing love. The Son of God died for us. The whole universe fits within the span of his hand. We need to think how big that is. God's hand is bigger than the universe. And yet he came and lived inside a human being. And now he lives in us. He bore our sins on the cross. He died for us. That is nearly too good to be true news. Amen? Amen. Think of it. Who would die for an ant or a flea? It's just so tiny and significant. And yet God is infinitely greater than us. And he loved us enough to die for us. That is incredibly good news. He bore our sins on the cross. So when Paul uses this word gospel, it wasn't a religious cliche. Nobody just passed over this. He was saying, "I'm not ashamed of telling people that God has paid for their sins, that everything has already been done, and that God isn't angry anymore." The religious system of Paul's day just screamed and yelled at this because they were preaching a bad news gospel. It wasn't a gospel, okay? It was just bad news that God is angry and you have to appease him by doing all of these rules and rituals and ceremonies. You have to measure how many steps you take on a Sabbath because if you took too many, God would be angry with you. John the Baptist was raised by the Essenes. These were a group of Jews who lived by the Dead Sea and wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. In these scrolls researchers have discovered documents that reveal how legalistic and ritualistic these people were. The Essenes actually taught that it was against the law to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't allow you to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath because it was considered work. Oh my. That's the kind of religious system Jesus came into and that Paul was addressing. The Essenes were people who were so ritualistic and legalistic that if you didn't do all these things, God would be angry with you and reject you. Paul just boldly proclaimed, "I'm not ashamed of telling people that God loves them and that their sins are paid for." You know, we've come full circle today. People have gotten on my case for telling people that God loves them. It's true. I've received a good bit of criticism for preaching that Jesus bore their sins and that God isn't mad at them anymore. Oh, yeah. Who was it that persecuted Jesus? Think about it. It was religious people. Who was it that persecuted Paul? Religious folk. Can you guess who it is that persecutes the gospel today? That's right. Bingo. Religious people. It's because they've been taught that God is angry with you and won't move in your life unless you do this and that and this and that. We have a religious Pharisaical system in place today in the church, just like in biblical times. But loved one, again, the gospel is good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, so says Romans 1:16. The word sozo, that's the Greek word translated salvation here. It doesn't only mean forgiveness of sins, it also includes healing, deliverance, and yes, prosperity. It's true. Now, let's look at James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save, or sozo, the sick. Healing, dear one, is part and parcel of salvation. So when the word says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that also means that the gospel is the power of God unto your healing. And that means healing for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. The gospel is the power of God unto your financial prosperity. If you don't like the word prosperity, abundance. Yes, the gospel is the power of God unto your deliverance and emotional stability. If you aren't experiencing peace, joy, victory, and if you aren't healthy in your body, it's because you don't have a full revelation of the gospel. If you really knew the gospel, this nearly too good to be true news of how much God loves you, oh, your body would be healed and made whole. Many Christians today are promoting all kinds of natural health products. I've seen it. They're running commercials. They're saying you should go on a vegetarian diet, eat barley grain and so forth, take their vitamins, and it's not unusual to watch Christian television or visit a Christian bookstore, what few are left, and see more information available about health, diet, and exercise than the preaching of the gospel. Now, there's a balance here, but let me say that I don't believe that what you eat and the way you exercise determines 90 or 99% of your health issues. The Bible doesn't teach that. Oh, you might say, "Oh, Tony, yes, it does. It talks about dietary laws." However, the only time these dietary laws are explained is in Colossians, and it's in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Here's what it says. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ." Now, all of these Old Testament dietary laws were shadows and types of New Testament realities that are now fulfilled. For someone to say, God told me not to eat pork because it's bad for me, that's incorrect. Actually, it's a doctrine of the devil. What? 1 Timothy 4:1 and 3 says, Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If someone commands you to abstain from meats, it's a doctrine of the devil. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use wisdom, but realize that conventional wisdom is what you should about what you should eat. It changes every 10 years or so. Physicians and scientists keep changing their mind. I heard a report recently that said a low-fat diet is detrimental to you. It keeps your brain from working properly. I've suspected that all along. Your brain has to have a certain amount of fat to work. See, they change the standards all the time. What does the Bible say about health? It speaks of operating in honor and joy. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Exodus 20, verse 12 tells us, Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God gives you. If you understood how forgiven and loved you are, you'd start rejoicing and praising God. Once you understand the gospel, your natural realm, your body and soul would improve. I'm telling you the truth. Your immune system would work better if you weren't beaten down, feeling unworthy, defiled, and condemned all the time. You'd have health in the natural realm, whether you received a supernatural healing from Jesus or not. Now, food and exercise are part of it, but it's much less than people think. I can't prove this, but I believe about, 20% of your health comes from food that you eat and exercise. Most people would say, well, no, it's 90% or higher. I believe that your joy in the Lord, honoring your parents, and so forth, is more important than these natural things. As Christians, we have, in a sense, become so humanistic. We are ignoring the spiritual roots of things and trying to find a physical, organic reason for everything. Well, you're depressed because you don't have certain chemicals. Not true. The reason you don't have certain chemicals is because you're depressed. I mean, you can either deal with depression by doing what the Word of God says, choosing to rejoice in the Lord and encourage yourself in Him, or you can take a pill and have someone dope you up so you can function. But that's not the right way to do it, dear one. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you, O God. Amen. Loved one, that's true for everyone, except those who have had traumatic experiences, were raised in dysfunctional families, or have chemical imbalances. That's what people say. But that's not what the Bible says. There are no exceptions. If you would keep your mind stayed on the Lord, you would be in perfect peace. If you aren't in perfect peace right now, your mind is not stayed on the Lord, or it's stayed on religion. If you understood the gospel, it would produce health, joy, peace, and prosperity. This is awesome. Praise God. But yeah, I've had people say, well, people need to know that they're sinners. They need to know that they're sinners. They need to know that God is angry with them. In Romans 1:18 through 20, Paul basically said this. People already know they're sinners. It's intuitive knowledge. God has revealed himself from heaven against all sin and unrighteousness of man. You don't need to condemn people. They already have an intuitive knowledge. Oh, but Tony, I know somebody who doesn't know it. No, you don't. You know someone who says they don't believe in God, but they know in their heart. Don't even argue with their head. Just go straight to their heart and talk to them like they know the truth. You'll find out that people will respond. For the rest of Romans 1, Paul was showing that you don't have to convince people of their sin. They are condemned in their own hearts already. They already know what's right and wrong. Everybody knows there's only one God and that they are not him. And loved one, that's intuitive with every person. You just need to witness to them at a heart level and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ and how he paid for their sin debt on Calvary's cross, and that they can be made free today, this very day. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Maybe you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. What's holding you back? Why not come and open your heart to Jesus today? The Word of God says today is the day of salvation, and now is the appointed time. Dear one, if there's something stirring inside your heart, know that that's the Holy Spirit of the living God drawing you to Jesus. So won't you pray with me right now to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? With all your heart, pray this with me. Dear God in heaven, come on, pray it with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus, and in my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. I am healed. And I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. And I will live for you and serve you, Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Congratulations, dear one. Welcome to the family of God. Now, please find yourself a good local church where the Bible is preached boldly and where people love God and love each other. That's so important that you get plugged into a great local church. If you've prayed that prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and just click on the contact tab and say, write to me and say, Tony, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. My life will never be the same. And you know what? I'm going to rejoice with you, send you a word of encouragement. I will send you also a free resource. That's right, free and postage paid. No gimmicks, no tricks, no schemes. I just want to be a blessing to you. And God bless you, dear one. Welcome to the family of God. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God always have a smiling countenance upon you and toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your family, marriage, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot all the days of your long, long life. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.